Do you have an anchor that's holding steadfast and deep in the Savior's love? I see a lot of heads nodding yes, and that's good news to me. Well, you know, this morning I want to talk to you about a term that maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. I imagine you have, and the term is called fair weather. Think about that, fair weather. This is a term that you would use to describe someone who offers help to another person, but only if in the particular case it will be easy or pleasant for them, or somehow maybe benefit them. That's the way the Collins English Dictionary defines that. The Cambridge Dictionary says it a different way. The Cambridge Dictionary says it defines it as someone who is a good friend when it's easy. That's a fair weather friend. And Webster, of course, they add the idea that a fair weather friend is loyal only in the times of success. And there's examples of fair weather, different things, but fair weather friends, you know, we have a lot of people in the city of Cleveland and the surrounding areas, Ohio, that are staunch Browns fans. But when the Browns start to lose, the jerseys disappear and the hats go away on some people. And those are fair weather fans. Fair weather sailor. You've heard that term most likely associated with a sailor. And that's a person that goes out and they're recreational sailors. They only sail in calm weather, and when the wind waves kick up and the wind kicks up, they get off the lake. A fair weather friend is a friend who that when things get tough, the fair weather friend is nowhere to be found. Think of that. And it's a person that only sticks around if it's easy, as we saw in those definitions, something that might make them look good. And that's all kind of a negative view of a fair weather individual or a fair weather practice, but it does get worse, because what we want to talk about is fair weather Christianity. People who serve God faithfully only when it serves themselves. We think of that. What about people who serve God? They enjoy the fellowship, they come to worship, and they call themselves Christians. Only when it makes them look good, only when it benefits them, only when it's convenient for them, that's a fair weather Christian. And there's examples galore about fair weather Christianity, and you know, just there's, think about these untells. Think of that, untell. Fair weather Christian is strong, they take a strong stance against anything like partial nudity, public bathing in particular, until their 16-year-old has some friends over for a swim party. And then you know what they wear. Somehow the untell. Strong stance against drinking alcohol until Uncle Bill comes over with a six-pack to watch the game. Until. A strong stance against filthy language, nasty jokes, until the boss tells a joke and they're expected to laugh. There's lots of untells. The problem comes when there is pressure, when things get tough, then doing right means to stand up against the opponent. It means to stand up against error. That's where fair weather Christianity becomes a failure. The answer, of course, when things get tough, where is the fair weather Christian? And the answer, of course, is nowhere to be found. So keep that in mind, and the better question maybe is that where do fair weather Christians put their priorities? Because that answer tells the story too. They place their priorities in their own comfort and their own perspective rather than in the will of God. And so we will keep those kinds of thoughts in our minds as we study the subject of fair weather Christianity. And this is important for us as Christians facing the challenges of our time. And listen, our faith is going to be tested to this core. But that's not to say that what we're facing is greater challenge than anybody else in history, because it's not. It isn't. There's nothing new under the sun. We know that. In the past, Christians have faced scourgings and being skin peeled off and burned at the stake and all kinds of terrible, terrible things. Their tests may be much more intense, but nonetheless, we're tested. And we need to know how to handle it, and we need to recognize how it's mishandled. And we will consider today three characteristics of fair weather Christianity. And the object of this lesson today is to help us learn to identify what these fair weather Christians are like, what they look like. And then we can look in a mirror, look back at ourselves, and we can decide whether or not we're being practicing one of these three things in our own lives. And so we want to begin with a statement. A fair weather Christian is one who is dependent upon current circumstances. I hope that's up there. A fair weather Christian is one who is dependent upon current circumstances. When everything is easy, good, there's no conflict, a fair weather Christian shines brightly. There's no problem. Their faith is dependent upon that circumstance. When they're healthy, everything's fine. They can come, they can worship God, they're fine, their family, everything's fine there, everything's fine at my work, with my health, and everything's going on really, really well, and they pursue God. When the money's good, they pursue God. When the car's running, pursue God. When the house is warm and comfy, they pursue God. They follow God in every way. When life gets tough, though, when things fall apart, their faith gets shaky and they become unreliable. And when circumstances are unfavorable, the fair weather Christian suddenly becomes unfaithful. When things get tough, when life puts a lemon, if you will, in your mouth, as a fair weather Christian, it's easier just to hide. It's easier just to make excuses, to stall their faith and come to a dead stop. And that happens quite often. Any little tiny thing brings up the excuse. Any little tiny bad taste in my mouth gives me reason not to come. Anything that happens at home, you know, I can't just leave that there and come here. I got to deal with that. That's the way that a fair weather Christian would think about those things. And when the family and the health, or the family falls apart, or the health falls apart, or the job becomes a problem, then fair weather Christians blame God very often. They sometimes blame somebody else, but oftentimes they blame God. They relate their troubles directly to another person. The fair weather Christian will give up seeing things spiritually. Consider Stephen, if you will. Acts chapter 7. If we want to turn there, Acts chapter 7. And what we're talking about is not a fair weather Christian, but we'll look at this. As we look at Acts chapter 7, what we're going to see here is, actually, we're going to look at verse 59 and 60. Acts chapter 7, 59 and 60. So Stephen, in the circumstance, the situation here, is that Stephen, he's being stoned. Let's read 59 and 60 here of Acts chapter 7 again. And we simply read, they stone Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So the circumstance, of course, he's being stoned. He's proclaiming Jesus Christ to the Jews who need to hear it. But they kill Stephen because they call him a false witness. You remember back in Acts chapter 6, you look at verse 5. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And at that point in time, the things that were being said pleased the crowd. But you look at verse 6, they decided that, Stephen was one of those people that was a man full of faith. He was a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 5. He had a good reputation. Circumstances were great. Things were going pretty good. And then you go down at verse 8, and it says that Stephen, full of faith and power, he did great signs and wonders among the people. That's great. Pretty good. Great circumstance. But that was short-lived, if you remember what was going on. His circumstance was about to change drastically. And there were some there that were resisting the Spirit and the words that Stephen spoke, and they were inducing other people to say that they heard him speak blasphemies against Moses and in God. Those were the fair weather Christians, or Jews rather. They're very religious people, but when the truth hits them in the face, they got to do something about it. And when we ask, Stephen a fair weather Christian? Well, of course he was. Of course he was. When the tables turned against him, he began to preach Abraham. He began to preach of the patriarchs and how God delivered Israel by Moses. And as you dig down through that chapter, he spoke of their fathers who killed the prophets who told of the coming of the Just One, which is Christ. And that's when everything went south. When he said something they didn't like, 59 and 60 of verse of chapter 7 comes into play. And we can see that Stephen, he wasn't a fair weather Christian. And what's the evidence? There's a lot of it, but the idea is he was stoned by the people and because they didn't want to hear the truth, but he reminded them of God. He reminded them of their fathers. He reminded them of the prophets, and he reminded them of who they were, the stiff-necked people. And so what are we learning? Faith cannot be based on circumstance. When things get tough, we just got to get tougher. Brethren, we can't let our faith, our service to God, our love for God in any respect, manner, or form be dependent upon how things are going on in our life. Because we were never promised that we weren't going to have trials. We were never promised we weren't going to have tribulations and troubles. When you look at the section of 1 Peter that we read, don't think it strange, verse 12, concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Having the kind of mentality that will show the world only when things are going good that God is good. When that kind of mentality that you have this great fellowship with the saints in Christ only when things are going good. And more importantly, the relationship that you have with God, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, through the Holy Spirit, but only when things are going good. It's a very serious issue. And we need to be serious about our relationship with God and not be fair weather about it. He's the one who died for us. And in the message, we want to send out this message to the world. We want the world to know that we're walking in truth, not just when it's easy, but even especially so when it's hard. We can show people the light of God's Word, the grace of God, the power of God. We can show people His love and His mercy and His compassion when things are tougher. They'll see it brighter. We don't want people to see us as fair weather Christians, people that pick up the Bible only when it suits them, only when it's a, when they feel like reading. People that only preach Christ when it's an easy path. But they put down the Bible and they put down the preaching when circumstances change. And we want to, do you want people to compare our Christianity to God like a football fan wears a jersey when the team wins and takes it off when they lose? We don't want people to see us like that as Christians. You know, I'm thankful that I have boys, Jim and Tony, that I consider them faithful, and I think they're pretty strong in the faith. And when things aren't quite right at home or somewhere with a member of the church, whatever, they don't walk away, and they're not fair weather. I'm thankful. And they're not, you know what? It shows up in their Browns fans. The Browns lose and lose and lose, and Tony's still shouting and shooting and wearing the hat and all that stuff. And so, but it's in the faith where it shines the most. Well, that brings us to the second point here, and that is a fair-weather Christian will have a roller coaster faith when it comes to commitment. And that's to say that when a fair-weather Christian, there'll be a person who fails to commit themselves fully to God, to service, to one another. And what I really mean by this is that this person will never commit 100%. You know, there was a time, and I've mentioned this before, I won't get into it, but I used to own a driver training school, and I used to drive around students in Akron and all around, and I used to see these signs that said, "Home of LeBron James." Saw them everywhere I went. And I'm telling you the truth, I had no clue who LeBron James was. I didn't. And one day I was teaching an in-class at the school, and I asked the student, "What is that? Those signs all over the home of LeBron James. Who is he?" And they laughed at me. They thought I was nuts. You drive around Akron today. Do you see any LeBron James signs? Nope. If I understand it right, he left the Cavaliers in Cleveland, and he went to play for some other team. And people dropped him like a rock. Fair weather fan. And that's true about people in a lot of things. They're afraid to commit completely, 100%. One of those things is marriage. You know, how often do we hear today that people, let's just, you know, that slip of paper is meaningless, sweetheart. Let's just get together. We'll live together. You know, we don't need to do a legal thing. That paper can be lost. It can be burned. It means nothing. Let's just live together. And the reason is because a lot of people don't want to commit. They just want to enjoy. And they want to leave that door open. They don't want that 100% written down piece of paper. They want that door open so it's real easy. Just it swings both ways. And they don't need that legal document. I just want that door open. That's not, you know, things, there's three things that happen, to fair weather Christians. Number one, they will be led away from God, by their own way. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says that because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It was their thoughts, their way, that caused their hearts to be darkened. And the same are unwilling to commit to God, just like people are unwilling to commit to a marriage. What would happen to us if we're fair weather Christians is that we're led away in our own ways from God. By our own thinking, we're led away. Look with me to Job. Now, there's a totally different story there in Job chapter 1. You see a stark contrast in Job. And it's interesting too that in Job chapter 1 in verse 20 and 22, it says here, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Why did he do that? Well, everything he had was taken away. His oxen were destroyed, his livestock destroyed, his home destroyed, his family, children, everything's destroyed. He's left with nothing. And what does he do? He falls down to the ground. And he worships God. And he said in verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away, has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrong. He was 100% for God. Unlike the men that Paul speaks of, Job was 100% committed to his God. The exact opposite of a fair weather saint, individual, and or Christian in our case. Despite what happened to Job, by the hand of Satan, he looked only to God. He took the suffering. He took all the circumstances. He didn't allow those things to control or manipulate himself. He was 100% committed to God. He refused to abandon God. He refused to be a fair weather saint. He refused to even trouble God. He committed himself to God. And if you remember the story of Job, after all the suffering, after all the confusion, all the questioning, after everything said and done, Job was restored 7 times. There's a big difference. Look at this now. People will be led away by their own thoughts, their own methods, their own ways. They won't be 100%. You know, yes, God, I love you, God. I'm going to follow God. I'm a Christian. You know, but there are some things. No. 100%. And there's another area where fair weather Christians face very big difficulties. The second part is in respect to growth. You know, you think of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. In other words, God expects us to grow, always growing. You know, it's like I often say to my grandkids, and you may have said this, stop growing. Stop it. You're not allowed to grow anymore. But see, God doesn't say that to us. God says grow. Add to your faith. He tells us here to get away from elementary principles. In other words, stop being a babe in Christ and become mature in the faith. That's what the Father wants. He wants progress, not stagnation. So we have to know the basic principles, but we got to move on from there and understand the faith, understand what righteousness is and righteous living, understand what holiness is and holy living, understand what it means to be godly. The Lord expects us to continue in faith, learning about righteousness and all those things. And I, you listen carefully here. That will only happen when we are dead serious about studying His Word. You can't casually, happenstantly, if that's a word, you can't do that. You have to be diligent, to study God's Word. Be dead serious about it. Dead serious about applying the principles that you learn from God's Word to your life. And when we are dead serious about our relationship with Christ, our relationship with the Father through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that will lead us to a home in heaven one day. But fair weather Christians, they have a problem with that. They have a problem with growing. They're very satisfied with that easy chair in the church called the pew. And then rather, they're not going to be 100% committed. Making 100% commitment means growth. It means work. It means study. And because of that, we see a third problem for fair weather Christians. Fair weather Christians will have a problem with commitment. Problem with commitment. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 26. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Remain faithful until death, right? There's commitment. And we think of what Jesus is saying there. Being faithful till death. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 10. Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And you think about those kinds of things and what it's going to be like on that day of judgment. I have to ask you, you know, even at this point in our study, do we really believe that God will be very pleased by any way we choose to live, whether we are a person who is dependent just on circumstance and wavering, or if we're a person who is less than 100% committed, if we're fair weather Christians? Will he be happy because we show up from time to time? Will we be happy even if we don't really sacrifice, if we've never suffered? Will he be pleased with all that if we don't really support the work other than throwing money into the offering tray? Which is a good work, don't get me wrong. But it's not the only work. In other words, do we believe that God will be satisfied if we're Christians in name only? Super Bowl 52, and I had to look this up because you know I'm not a sports fan. But I had read about this before in 2017, Super Bowl 52. It was the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know who they played, but they won. And at the ceremonies after the game, there was some fella named Kevin Hart. He was a comedian from Philadelphia. He jumped up, he grabbed the trophy, got up on stage, kind of pushed his way up into the middle of things and kind of took over. He took all the emphasis off of the team that won the game, that worked so hard, and took center stage with words like, "We did it! We won! We pulled it off!" But he never put on a uniform. He was never hit by another player, never tackled, never caught a pass, never made a touchdown. He didn't have anything to do with the game at all. He was just a standby person in the fans. He tried to reap all the glory. He eventually was taken down off the stage. He eventually, later on, apologized for his behavior. But listen, we need to be careful that we're not like that. We need to remember that one day Jesus is going to return, as we read here, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and at verse 10, and he's going to see what we did do and what we didn't do while in the body. And listen, you're not going to be able to take glory for the work of the church. You're not going to be able to receive glory and a crown of righteousness if you're not faithful until death. You're not going to be, you think of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where the wide gate and the narrow gate, and you're on that wide gate, they're making it all easy, 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 and you're not going to receive the glory that the people who went through the narrow gate and up that difficult path went. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look with me at verses 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and the enemies of your minds by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. We want to be able to be that person. We want to be that kind of person that is reconciled by the blood of Christ. We want to be that kind of person that presents our bodies holy, blameless, above reproach in His sight. And you notice verse 23, if you continue in the faith. Those who have lived faithful lives to Him will celebrate for all eternity. We must all appear before the judgment seat. That's what Paul said. Another question, if we spend our lifetime forgetting that Christ died for us, forgetting the blood that was shed, kind of forgetting all the great blessings that are found in Christ, forget the position we're in as part of the body. Make no mistake, I did say the blessed position they were once in. Because a fair weather Christian is not right with God. They are not loyal to God. They're not 100% committed. They allow circumstance to cause them to waver. Fair-weather Christian does not have the right relationship with God. A fair-weather Christian is not on that narrow way, they're on the wide way. There are many blessings in Christ, and we have to remember them. You know, but there's one in particular that I want to consider as we really get close to the close of this lesson. And that's the one we just read. You think about those words. He says, and you who were or once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Because all that Christ did, it can be seen. All that Christ does for us, we can know. And we can be holy in the sight of our God because of Him. Because of His righteousness, we can be righteous. Because He was blameless, we can be blameless. Because Christ is above reproach, we can be above reproach. But it's only because of Christ was made that 100% commitment to us. And God will deliver us from our enemies. He'll do that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before Him all the days of our lives, right? Luke chapter 1 verse 74 and 75. And so we never want to forget these points. We never want to forget that circumstance has nothing to do with our faith. Our faith should be unwavering, steadfast and sure, standing upon the rock of Christ, the rock that does not move. That's where our anchor is. Remember the song before the message. Will your anchor hold? I would say not if you're fitting any of these categories of a fair weather Christian. You know what's interesting about our Christianity is we have somebody behind us all the time. We also have somebody before us all the time. Think about that. He's behind you, pushing you through the Holy Spirit, getting you to motivating through the Word of God, and He's in front of you all the time, helping you along when you stumble and fall. But you know, and if you're not a Christian, He's there also for you. And here's the big question. So, okay, I'm not a Christian. Well, I'm going to suffer anyway. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're still going to suffer. Because being a Christian doesn't mean you don't suffer. If you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. So why suffer and end up without a prize? Why not suffer just like everybody else, but end up with the prize, with that crown of life? So there's your thought for the day. Well, I hope that lesson helped. And of course, we always have an invitation. If anybody needs to repent or to be baptized, the water's ready and the church is ready. So if you have need, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.